Hey, kid. What's your name?
I can't remember.
Where are you from?
I can't remember.
Can't you remember anything?
I remember the Alamo.
Address my remarks tonight to Mr. Osama bin Laden. Buddy, you screwed up big time. Because if there's one thing I'm good at, it's punishing evildoers. If you don't believe me, there's over 200 guys in Texas you can ask. Well, you can't ask them that right now, but you'll have a chance real soon. I'm gonna find you. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow, but maybe tomorrow. I'll see you real soon. Because you violated rule numero uno. You mess with Texas. That's right. Don't mess with Texas.
An all-Texas Super Bowl. His will be done.
And you wagered Texas with a dollar sign in front of it.
The point is, we got whopped in Texas.
We got whopped in Texas twice.
I'm from Texas. In Texas, we have the death penalty, and we use it! That's right. If you come to Texas and kill somebody, we will kill you back. That's our policy.
Of course he had a gun. This is Texas. Everybody has a gun. My florist has a gun.
And that is everything I love about the Alamo Draft House.
That's good.
For those of you who have not seen it, I almost want to drop the audio for this in right now. And you know what? I'm going to, so.
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys actually enjoy treating your customers like a piece of shit. Because that's how I felt when I went to the Alamo Draft House. Okay? You know what? I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to text in your little crappy-ass theater. It was too fucking dark in that place for me to find my seat, all right? I was using my phone as a flashlight to get to my fucking seat. So excuse me for using my phone in USA, United States of America, where you are free to text in a theater. I was not aware that I couldn't text in your theater, all right? I've texted in all the other theaters in Austin, and no one ever gave a fuck about what me I was doing on my fucking phone, all right? And it was on silent. It wasn't on loud. It wasn't bothering anybody. You guys, obviously, were being assholes to me, and I'm sure that's what you do, you know, to rip people off. You take my money, and then you throw me out. You know, I will never be coming back to your Alamo Draft House or whatever. I'd rather go to a regular theater where people are actually polite. And, it, you know, I'm going to tell everyone about how shitty you are. And I'm pretty sure you guys are being assholes on purpose. So thanks for making me feel like a customer. Thanks for taking my money, asshole.
Welcome to Back to the Magnetic...
She don't wear none of them.
Magnetic States of the Film Thugs.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to point out some shit that this broad throws out here. I was only using my phone to find my seat because it was too dark. I guess with the exception of the giant illuminated wall at one end of the theater where the film is being shown.
They were having a documentary about darkness.
Okay, apparently. There we go. It was a radio play. All the rage. They also, on top of that, the Draft House only comes to get you, yeah, if there's a complaint from another customer. That means that this fucking broad's out there texting and someone complains. They warn you twice and then they kick you out without a refund. You know how you know this? Because for about 2 minutes, they have shit on the screen telling you that this is what will happen. They have everyone from Chuck Norris to Peter Bogdanovich to fucking Ann Richards telling you that they will throw you out of the theater for doing this. I've used my phone to text in every other theater in Austin. No one gave a shit. Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did. Someone gave a shit.
They didn't have any recourse.
No.
Watch the movie, you fucking twat. Oh, my God.
Excellent. I wonder what she went to see. She sounds like a Lake Creek Alamo drafter.
Yeah, although that's from the original, so I'm betting it's South Lamar.
Oh, balls.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, that was beautiful. The Alamo Draft House Theater has posted that and has been embraced by the world because apparently everyone else is tired of this shit too.
Well, of course.
Everyone. I've seen people get thrown out over this before. Awesome. I've complained because I'm paying my money to see my movie, not while you use your phone in a theater. I love it when people roll out, I'm in the United States of America, where I have the right to text in a theater. No, you fucking don't.
And we have the right to refuse service.
Yes.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. You dumb bitch.
So, right now, I am bedecked in as much gorgeous burnt orange as possible. Now, I actually had to debate what
Without
wearing clothes. It was brilliant. I had to debate which UT jersey I was going to wear tonight because I own three UT jerseys. I own number 34, Ricky Williams, Heisman Trophy winner. Kind of a weird cat.
Kind of a stoned cat.
Mm-hmm.
Not really weird. It's just high.
Stoned. Yeah. Although, no, we'll talk about that in a minute here. I have number 12, Colt McCoy from the BCS Championship.
He's not
game.
High.
Yeah. The Colt McCoy, even though he has the most Texan / quarterbacky name in the history of the world.
Next to Lance Strongarm.
Yeah. He had that elbow problem in the national championship game that cost us the national game. And then I've got the one I'm wearing right now, which is the number 10 Vince Young Rose Bowl Citibank National Championship jersey that I was wearing at the Rose Bowl when the greatest college football game in the history of the fucking world was played. And Vince Young won us a goddamn national championship.
He sure did. I'm not going to run that play.
Yeah.
I'm going to run this play.
I'm going to do this,
the
Greg
one that wins.
Yeah. Thank you. Let me do what I'm
going
to do.
Screen pass, no. No screen passes for you. No.
How about we do that play where it's like from Invincible. How about we do that play where Vince just wins the game?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that. Right. Yeah. Now, I know that thus far we've been, you know, with the UT shit, we've been a little Longhorn-centric. And I know, Campbell, you have family. You went to A&M, correct?
Sure.
And a lot of people in Texas support Texas A&M University. So
certainly,
for that, we're going to take a break right now, a second drop-in of sound, to let you enjoy the Aggie wore him.
What y'all want me to thank this here for? What is this evil? Okay, yeah. How you pronounce the word? Chugamaluminekonek, habalahukame. Goodbye to Texas University of Texas. Goodbye to Orange and White, Lord. Good luck to them dear old Texas Aggies. Mm-hmm. They is the boys who knows how to fight. The eyes of Texas is upon you, yes, Lord. That is the song they sang so well. It sounds like hell. Oh, goodbye to Texas University. Now for the Aggies, look here, chicka-wicka-boom, chicka-dicka-doo, disco, hickada, hugga-do-do-do. What in the world did that mean?
That is the 12th man.
What on earth does that mean? Is this evil? That will never not be funny to me.
No,
ever. See, this is what's great about, like, I never understood Adam Sandler's, I have a microphone so you will listen to every word I have to say. Until right now, I'm right. So, we are talking today about Texas, everything wonderful about Texas, film, TV, shit that represents us. In essence, a whole lot of football and cowboy movies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A few murders,
occasional. Now, let's jump right off the bat here. Oh, first off, before I go any further on this, I was watching The Ghost Adventures a couple weeks ago. You probably watched it too. When they went to the slave house.
Right.
Now, I watch Ghost Adventures to make fun of the people on the show.
Yes.
When you're having them talk about this room where runaway slave got whipped to death, it's like, there is not a dickbag teenager in the world who can cut a wide enough heel stance to be able to make jokes about that without being like, oh, really? You are desperate to piss off daddy right now, aren't you?
Right.
There's that little bit inside of you is like, And just looking at it a little bit like, yeah, this is where they chained him and killed him. Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Come back when it's someplace funny. But don't give it, like, today we're going to go to Auschwitz and talk about, like, no. I can't watch
you
that.
Can't do that. Come because on. That shit's never not funny.
Yeah. I'm so sorry, Matt. I'm so sorry, Matt. No. Yeah, look, you throw that shit out there and it's just, I can't. Damn it. But yes, I had to stop watching because I couldn't make fun of it.
Yeah, okay.
So instead, I threw on an episode of King of the Hill.
Because
That show makes me feel awesome no matter what is happening.
That's a head of a Nancy. Nope, that's a helmet.
A bit of Nancy's windpipe in half. Cotton Hill is you. First off, King of the Hill, coming from a small Texas town, because I didn't. I came from a big behemoth of a city.
Right.
How accurate to small-town Texas life is King of the Hill?
Spot on.
Yeah. The very
That's short... more particularly spot on to, say, northeast Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe just north-central, like mm-hmm. Abilene.
Yeah.
That's closer to that.
Yeah.
But pretty damn close.
Right.
Lots of dovetailing
mm-hmm.
of certain themes.
Well, now here's what's interesting to me, and this for people who aren't from Texas, this isn't going to make sense. But Campbell, you'll pick this up. You know, it was never revealed in the run of that show that is a little bit unbelievable. Is Hank a Longhorn or an Aggie fan?
Ah, yeah, it's true.
They never addressed that, right. And that's the sort of thing that needed to pop up at some point. You know, it didn't need to, but
on all Texas Super Bowl, it will be done.
You guys have no concept of what would happen to this state if there was an all-Texas Super Bowl. Like, seriously.
I think you may have some form of an idea. It's called drunken idiocy.
The airports would be shut down. Yes. Like, seriously, nothing would happen. Like, we have to have the Texas A&M football game on Thanksgiving, because otherwise shit would not get done.
Right.
And we'd be like, sorry, they tried. There was a year where A&M got their television rights revoked for recruiting violations. And so UT tried to reschedule it with Baylor.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like the Yankees and the Red Sox say, well, the Red Sox aren't available.
We're going to take on the fucking
We're going to play the Royals.
Yeah.
We're going to play the Chiefs, Royals but... instead.
Yeah. We're going to take on the Blue Jays.
Yes, we're just going to... They're a team, right? That'll fit in.
Right.
Yes. But that show... Hank's... The moment that I think hit the Texas football attitude the best was when Thanksgiving... Hank's dad and mom are there, and Hank's dad is just ripping his mom apart.
Mm.
Just tearing her. And she says to Hank at one point, "You spent more time defending Troy Aikman than defending me." And Hank said, "All Troy can do is get the ball there. He can't catch it for them, Mom." And that is such an idea. Like, that is Texas football.
Yeah, yeah.
That is, like... You know, yes, there are parents who will buy season tickets to middle school football, who will go and sit and watch sixth grade football practice on an afternoon.
Yes. Pop Warner.
Pop Warner.
Lots of it.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad was from New York. He didn't give a shit. I never played football growing up, and I lived in a city where it was acceptable not to.
Right.
Living in Refugio, had you said, "I'm not even going to try out for the football team," was that an option?
No.
No. Yeah.
It was bad enough when I wanted to go, you know, be creative.
Right.
I may as well have shown up in a tutu.
Yeah, people look at you like, what?
Hello, sailor!
Yeah, people like, by creative, you mean drawing up plays and stuff, right? No.
No, no.
You mean acting. What now?
You can do what? UIL competition doesn't involve you hitting someone. You're too damn big not to hit anyone, boy.
Yeah. See, I was also lucky, too, because for as tall as I was so skinny. What position could I have played on a high school football team?
Full Nick Cave back.
Yes, full Nick Cave. If I could have run fast, I would have been decent as a wide receiver.
You would have been the mascot for the Chicago Nick Caves. I don't even know he's from Chicago.
I take that. No, it's true.
Is he?
No.
I have no idea.
Nick Cave's Australian.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
No idea.
You're a little off.
I have no clue. I just know he is not fat.
He is not at all.
That's my knowledge of Nick Cave.
And that's a good knowledge to have. So let's jump right in and talk Texas football movies.
Okay.
Start them off with. First off, I want to discuss a movie that became a series, Friday Night Lights.
Of course.
Let's talk movie first. You've seen the movie, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Odessa Permian football being portrayed as the underdog in the... What? After the book came out, maybe. Because they finally cracked down and said, you're paying your football coach more than the principal. You're spending more money on overnighting game film than on textbooks. You chartered a private plane to fly the football teams... That got too much attention after that book, and suddenly...
It pissed off absolutely everyone except the people in Odessa.
Yeah. Yeah. Odessa's like, well, what about it? Well, it's one of those things where it was like the, you know, they spent like $10 million on a field house when they were having to, you know, cut programs at the school. And there are people in the town who are honestly like, well, hey, man, football team's part of school, too. Like, gee, what the fuck, man?
Only other people got mad about that.
I actually knew a girl who went to high school in Dallas, had a friend who was going to this other high school that had a debate team that was the fucking balls. It was amazing. Principal said, called them all in, we're cutting the debate program because we're a football school and this is distracting attention from our football team.
The debate team?
Yeah, because the debate team was doing so good. They were like, you're taking not funds, not students, attention. Yeah.
That is some heady debate.
It is. That is some Texas-style shit right
there. LD must have been amazing.
He is. Have you read the book, Friday Night Lights?
No.
It goes into so much more of the politics behind high school football. Like, there are the players for Dallas Carter who were academically ineligible. They were. The school, the kids gave such little shit about classes that the school basically passed a rule where it was like they got graded on participation, which meant if they showed up, you passed them. And they had a teacher who failed them, and it went to the state Supreme Court, who ordered, no, you're not making them ineligible. Yeah.
Well. Now, Odessa Permian, on the other hand, is one that, like, my high school played them in the state championship in 1992. My team had two guys who went into the NFL, Priest Holmes and NDK Kalu. Great pro football players, one of the best football teams in Texas, and we knew going into it, these fuckers are a buzzsaw.
Yeah.
We are going to get our ass. And it wasn't, it was a closer game. I mean, we gave them a run for it, but, you know, we spent weeks hearing about mojo.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is that? The mojo magic. Like, huh?
What is this?
But it was this huge
deal. Witchcraft.
They stripped most of that out for the series.
Yeah.
The series, the movie was good. The series gets a little distracted with shit. But I think it's one of the best TV shows ever. Mm-hmm. And as I discovered this week, talk about feeling like an asshole. I watched every episode of that show. Every one of them. Loved it.
Right.
Then I go and look up online. I'm on Facebook trying to find old college friends. And I look up this guy, Derek Phillips, that I was a freshman. I was one of three men in the three freshman males in the theater department at Baylor University one year. He was one of the other.
Right.
I didn't recognize him on the show. Partly because his voice, he had this sort of New York accent,
right,
that totally altered it into the most believable West Texas accent you'll ever hear.
No, cool.
But I had no idea it was him. None. And then I saw a picture. I'm like, fuck that guy. I fucking know him. He left me the best voicemail I've ever had in my life. I slept through a final. Not slept through, but I slept past when the final started.
Right.
But it was for a theater. It was for a theater dance class. So, you know, they were doing it one at a time.
So nothing important.
Exactly. My phone keeps ringing that morning. I finally wake up and I see what time it is, and I just run to the theater building. I come home later, and there's like, hey, Jim, this is this guy. You know, this is Opie, this kid that I called Opie. Where are you, man? You're supposed to be here. Anyway, hey, Jim, this is Derek. Where the hell are you, man? You're supposed to be here. We got the final going on. Oh, he's here? Ah, you're here. Click. Hangs up. That was awesome, but that's Derek. Where the fuck are you, man? You're supposed to... Oh, he's here? Okay. Click. Now, Friday Night Lights had one storyline that was stupid. It was terrible, and that was when Tara and this guy kill a guy. It was awful. Second season starts out. Like, there are websites dedicated to how terrible this plot. And they got rid of it quick and then never mentioned it right again. And it goes into the drama surrounding it and goes more into the town. But for a town like that, the football team is so central.
Yeah.
You know, that is so, it's such a massive part of it that you can't ignore it.
Right.
You know, that it always comes back to that. But being from a town like you are, I want to get your opinion on, like, how, firsthand account, what happened to Refugio, Texas during your high school football games? What happened to the town itself?
You could rob every house in town because absolutely everyone was at the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night, that was church.
Right.
Out of all the schools in surrounding county and even area region,
mm-hmm,
we were the only ones that had a concrete porch stadium.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't these just rickety aluminum seats on
right
a steel frame. These were serious.
I remember stadium it, dude. Yeah.
They call it the Valley of Death. In the old days, they've changed it up now, but there's a weight room on one side and the coach's place where you watch film was on the other side of the stadium. Both under, it looks like it's underneath. You just come out from under all the weight rooms and stuff are built into the stadium,
right
underneath. So when they hit the paper and stuff for the team to come running out,
uh-huh,
they used to run out from the stadium itself. Looked like it was coming up out of the ground with the gladiators.
Damn.
And come busting through, uh-huh, to our school song of Dixie. It still is.
Yeah.
One person made a complaint about it years ago as an aside.
Uh-huh.
I think they killed him.
Now, what's funny about that is,
anyway,
it's not all the white people.
No, no, no.
No, no, no.
It was probably Scotty.
Yeah.
This black guy that was a huge fan of the Bobcats. Scream. You could hear him over anything.
Uh-huh.
You could be in a series of plays. You could be getting hit on three different sides, and you would hear, come on, cats! Come on, kill it!
Kelly was the head coach.
Come on, kill it! Oh, kill it! You could hear him. I can still hear
him. Now,
anyway, the town would transform into football worship.
Right.
Period. And funny thing was, the game would be going on, and the disinterested kids, right, would be next to the concession stand playing with these little orange Refugio Bobcat footballs that the cheerleaders would throw out. So you're a little kid going through the series of plays while the game's going on next to the concession stand. You're playing the game while the game's being played because you're following. You're basically learning the plays as muscle memory before you even get to the point where you try out for the football.
Even my high school, the kids who weren't interested, who were too cool for, went to the games.
Yes, the too cool for school kids were there.
Yeah.
Were there, and that was so small that if you didn't, if you weren't involved in at least three things, you were the outcast, you were the nerd for not being involved.
Right.
90% of the football team was also in the band.
Right.
You would play, I remember you would this, play that, you would play half the game, then go get your instrument and march.
You played tuba.
Played tuba in your fucking uniform.
Yeah.
And get back out, go listen to some little speech there at halftime, and then hit back the field for the second series.
Yeah.
Now, third quarter, rather. It was...
Tell me how much you love this and how realistic this sounds. A scene in Friday Night Lights, the show, where Buddy Garrity, who's the head of the Boosters, in a time when they are losing money, they can't repair the air conditioning for the school, raise enough money to get a Jumbotron.
Yeah.
Now, is that ridiculous, or is that completely and entirely believable?
It's believable that someone would get a Jumbotron.
Yeah.
It was. It would not be believable he would do that in lieu of fixing the AC.
Yeah, well, no, the thing is, it was the money. The principal even tried to get the money moved over to do that, but, like, no, the Boosters donated it for the Jumbotron. So, no, you can't change what it's used for.
Oh, I see.
For.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally believe. 100%.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, they actually did the equivalent of that, and they got a brand new screen.
The light-up scoreboard. Yeah.
It's huge. It's it sets the night ablaze.
Now, yeah, but that's right. The thing is, this show, you see that, like, even these kids who play for the team and then they're absolute human, they're gods.
Yeah.
And then they graduate and move on, and what happens to them after that?
Right.
And you see that where it's like, yeah, there's still a lot of respect for it. There are many of them who, even if they don't go to college, are never going to have to find a job. Like, in Refugio, Texas, if your high school team, suppose your team had won the state championship, and then the quarterback failed out of college and came back there, there'd be a sports bar that would...
No, that's not true, because the thing about that town is it, because, like I said earlier, you had to participate in all these other things to not be the outcast. It wasn't... No, I'm not saying this is true about Odessa. I don't know.
Yeah.
It wasn't that football is the wellspring where excellence comes from. You're expected to be good at everything, and that's just the final result.
Okay,
it's biggest example.
Right.
The school itself had a sense of we are good at everything we do, and you're expected to be the best at everything you do regardless. And that transferred over to track and to academics and to UIL competition. So it was more of a culture of no one ever – conceived of not doing their best. I'm not trying to sound like some kind of after school cliche, but that there really was a culture of that.
Right.
And it was only when you go to a school that doesn't have that culture
that
you realize just how precious that can be.
Yeah.
So I don't know about other schools where it was all football and that it went from there, but it was the other way around. And so if people could be a god and win the state championship, my brother's team won the state championship.
Right.
But there are people on that team that, you know, would come back to town and be absolute pieces of shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they beat their wives or they got thrown in jail for selling drugs or whatever, or just didn't do enough.
Right.
They're necessarily bad people. But if they didn't quite live up to being not rich or successful in that kind of way, any kind of monetary way, but just are you a good person now? No? Well, then go fuck yourself too.
Question
is different.
How many times does your brother get shit because they think that he's the Campbell boy who quit the team or who stopped playing?
It's happened a couple of times.
Yeah. No, sir. That was my brother.
That was the brother.
But no, what was interesting, and it's odd because now that I'm on the other side of the table being a teacher, when I first saw the movie Friday Night Lights and that kid, Boobie Miles, who fucks up his knee and can't play anymore, and then the coaches kind of move on and he's not. I thought that was, like, so cruel and heartless.
Yeah.
But then on the other side, it's like, you know, I've had students that I've loved, that I thought were great, who had to drop out.
Yeah.
Because, and as much as I mourn that, I've still got this other job I've got to do.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm saying, well, I have to be this. Like, you're gone. I've got 100 other kids that I have to worry about right now. And it seems so heartless, but it's like you got to work with what you've got.
Yeah.
But it's a fascinating. The film itself, I thought, was fantastic.
Yeah, it was good.
The one that took it a little, what almost felt like it was a little bit too far, but I don't think it went too far. If you're from here, Varsity Blues is not as over the top as people who aren't from Texas think it is.
No, it's a little cartoony, but it's not that far off.
Yeah, there's nothing in it that I look at and go, "That's like okay, yeah." The quarterback with the billboard in his front yard. It wouldn't have been that big a billboard, but he would have had a pretty big fucking sign letting everyone know that's where the starting quarterback lived.
There'd just be a it would just depend, but there'd be a sign.
But another thing, actually, what I think you'll dig is the first time that coach on the series, Friday Night Light, loses a game, he comes home, and you know what's on his front yard? A whole bunch of for sale signs. Is that surprising at all?
No. I don't know. Kelly didn't lose many.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, my high school, it's weird. We went from, when I was there, state championship game, to a few years later, after I'd finished, setting the record for the state for the longest time it took for a team to score a point. Because our coach was, jump back to Varsity Blues. If we run the ball, we grind the pace of the game into the ground. We own the pace of the game, which works until every other school figures out all you're going to do is run. Now, when you have Priest Holmes as a running back, you can run the ball on every play.
Sure.
When you've got a guy like Indy Kalu playing defense, throwing people around, you can do shit like that. However, when you start losing those guys, you can have running backs that are good that can't pull it off.
Right.
But there are players. Like, would you say that your town kind of treated your high school coach the way that John Voight was treated in Varsity Blues? I mean, maybe not a statue, but was he somebody who held an inordinate amount of sway in that town?
For what he did, yeah. But yeah, he wasn't necessarily liked.
Right.
By everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of his personal shortcomings were completely whitewashed when they wouldn't otherwise be, because right, he was a damn good coach. And for all the people in Ferrero know this, his staff was incredible.
Yeah, you've told
me. Other coaches were where it was bad. Not that Coach Kelly didn't have the skills. He did.
Right, he did. Yeah,
because he wrangled all of them together.
Mm-hmm.
But it was his staff. But yes, there was a certain amount of clout given to him because that's Coach. That's Coach Kelly. Period.
Like, even like the scene where the sheriff's talking about, you know, the football players running wild and doing all that shit, and the coach is like, "If my players are too much for you," and they're like, "Oh no, sir." No.
That shit would never fly.
Yeah, that wouldn't fly there, but there are towns. Or would you be surprised to find out that there are towns where that happens?
Oh, fuck no.
Yeah.
No. That's what I'm saying, is the Furio was different in that way.
Right.
And it may have changed now, but I don't know that. But if you were fucking up, you're caught drinking and running around.
Uh-huh. Well,
most coaches
will, if they found out you were drinking, your ass is fucking down. They will nail you for it.
Because they were so hell-bent on, if you're a Bobcat, you're an example.
Yeah, yeah.
And you better set an example for the kids coming up, because they're literally doing, you know, like I said before, next to the concession stand, running the place.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a big deal.
But I will say this, if I had to choose between the movie Friday Night Lights, the movie Varsity Blues, or the TV show Friday Night Lights, I'd say Friday Night Lights, the TV show. Go out and purchase the whole season. I'm sure Derek gets some cash off it. He's a good guy. No. I will stand by this with the show Friday Night Lights. There's two types of people when it comes to that show. People who love it and people who've never seen it. It's fantastic. It's the most accurate representation of the way shit is. You know, like after the game, everyone's at the Easy's afterwards. Yeah. And, you know, you've got the team where, you know, the running back and the quarterback and the badasses are all inside with their unrealistically hot girlfriends and outside, you know, everyone else. But there's this total different – there's a caste system.
Oh, yeah.
But Coach has enormous control over all those players.
Right.
And – what I like about the show is Kyle Chandler. I love Kyle Chandler. He's a fantastic actor. He represents essentially the best. If you have a kid who plays high school football, you hope that he has Coach as his coach. You right. hope that that's who the coach is.
Right.
And Connie Britton is his wife. Is just she's an amazing actress, and she's just heart-stoppingly gorgeous.
Right.
So the fact that she's really cool, really talented, and just lovely makes it very easy. We talked before North Dallas 40. You haven't seen.
No.
But that goes more into the shenaniganry of the pro side of it and the something that's touched on in Varsity Blues where it's there are coaches who will inject your knee with cortisone so that you'll go out and play even though you shouldn't.
Right.
That is a big part in North Dallas 40. Mm-hmm. But it hits, to me, that moment where they all get in the huddle and everyone's yelling at each other. The quarterbacks, you shut the fuck up. Nobody talks in this huddle but me. And even the linemen are like, all right, whatever. Yeah, right, you're in charge. Sorry about that, man. The Express, we talked about that. The bad guys beating Texas.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about Count Bacala. In Necessary Roughness.
Oh, yeah.
Where they substituted the University of North Texas essentially for SMU.
Yeah.
Except SMU got hit a whole lot worse. Yeah. Just so you guys know, Southern Methodist University was a badass football school and violated shit so bad that they got the death penalty.
Pretty much.
No, not pretty. You cannot have a football program for the next, what was it, like 5 years?
Yeah.
It's gone. Holy hell. In Texas? No, that can't happen. So what they did was they showed the aftermath of that. The only part that was unbelievable there was the dean who was against the football team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The unrealistic amount of money that college football brings in.
Yeah.
Here's how I put it with all my friends who talk about, oh, well, you know, if you got rid of the UT Longhorn team, every single athletic scholarship at that school is gone.
Correct.
Every guy who's there playing baseball, every woman who's there on the track team, swim team, volleyball team, softball team, gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other things make some money, but I showed Stuart when he was here. We drove around, showed him around shit, and I showed him Daryl K. Royal. Have you been close to Royal since they remodeled it?
Oh, yeah.
For those who don't know, Daryl K. Royal holds, what, 109,000 people?
Yes.
Okay. Average game, it's a sellout.
Mm-hmm.
Average ticket price, cheap tickets are like $80.
Right.
So let's average the ticket price at $100. That's $10 million in tickets alone.
Yeah.
Add concessions, parking, every single burnt orange piece of clothing in the establishment.
Right.
Programs. I would wager, if I had to put it down, I'd say somewhere $15 to $20 million generated from one game.
Right.
Then you, and that's, I don't even know if I would even count TV rights in with that.
No.
But let's put it, you're probably looking at $25 million for one game.
Right.
Mac Brown is not overpaid. He's not. Now, just so you know, at this moment, I have a Texas football jersey. Under that, a Texas t-shirt. And on my head, a Texas bandana. I am bought into it. I am entirely my credit card is the Longhorn credit card. It's got all that shit on it.
And you're well within your rights because
yes,
you are a graduate.
Yes, I am.
Texas.
Two degrees, bro.
Yeah, 2 degrees. It's the people that aren't. Yeah. I don't fault them because you're bringing in cash to the city.
Right.
Hurrah.
Yeah.
But what the fuck?
But then, like,
I know it's not they're bad people or wrong. It's just kind of puzzling.
Yeah, but like for folks like you, you will watch, like,
when if I'm like, watching college football, I'm watching UT.
Yeah, and when and even though your sister went to A&M,
mm-hmm.
who do you cheer for in the UT versus A&M?
Of course.
Yeah, UT. The only one that to me is inexcusable.
But I'm not wearing. My point is not.
Yeah, you're not wearing.
I'm not. I'm not.
You're go horn. You know, yeah. Hook 'em horns, but you're not going crazy for it. Right. Now, I did. Have you ever seen that ESPN Game Day commercial where they were playing Scattergory, like the win, lose, or draw, where they're drawing the picture, you know, Pictionary, like. Mm-mm. And there's a guy in an A&M shirt, and the thing is obviously hook 'em horns, and the woman's doing it, and he's like, hook, oh, hook, and horns, and he gets it, and he just crosses his arms and sits down. And it's just like, come on, it's football, you know, and he's like, no. Taco right. meat. Now, there's only one thing where that gets checked. If A&M is playing Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I am a screaming Aggie fan.
That's the one thing every Texan can agree on.
Yeah.
Whether you went to either school, no school, you don't know how to spell school.
Yeah.
If any team is playing, if you're going through Oklahoma.
Yeah.
We all hate Oklahoma.
Oh, man.
Hear me again. We all hate Oklahoma.
Yeah.
No, no.
Eight.
We all hate Oklahoma. Uh-huh. That's it.
I had a friend once ask me, it's from a different place, what's the difference between A&M and OU? And I said, folks from A&M fuck sheep. Folks from OU rape them. And I think that kind of hits.
Yeah. Yes.
I like that even now you're needing a second. Like, I.
Okay.
Which is what makes it so hard for me to get behind Stone Cold.
Sure.
Like, fuck,
the end of the day, so a fucking sooner.
Oh, Boomer Sooner. God, fuck you. Although I will say the greatest thing I just found out, UT El Paso has my new favorite college fight song. Dun 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 dun. Yes, and for those who don't know, their fight song is "Down in the West Texas Town of El Paso." I fell in love with a Mexican girl.
Does it go on as long as that song?
It might. I don't know, but there's cowboys and vaqueros and all kind of
Roses Cantina.
But what I'm getting at.
The mascot is Marty Robbins. He has corpse.
No, and not. Like, there's actually.
Just put him on a horse. Put him on a cross.
That spangly outfit he used
to
wear.
Losing limbs.
What I'm trying to say here is football in Texas is huge. But what's weird, though, is like necessary roughness for as close as it got. It's still, like, cartoonish idea, right?
Very, very cartoonish.
Yeah, the big tech school. Have you ever seen Johnny B. Good with Anthony
Michael Hall?
Yeah,
of course.
Oh, my God.
Someday, Coach, I really like your gremlin. Well, if you work hard, someday you, too, can purchase a gremlin. Or something like that.
I saw it once all the way through. That thing was shot all over San Antonio.
Yeah.
What? Okay, sure.
It didn't fill you with the same kind of... hometown pride is Cloak and Dagger.
Let's go to Cloak and Dagger then. Nothing will ever fill me with as much pride as Cloak and Dagger because that is the San Antonio of my youth. There's an Orange Julius in the background of a shot.
Dabney Coleman's originally from Corpus Christi.
Yeah. He is in the Air Force, which is dead on.
Yep.
Side note, the sequel to Terms of Endearment, Evening Sun, or Evening Star, what the fuck? Ever. Right.
Named after the Judas Priest song.
Okay. The oldest son is in jail, manslaughter, for killing his girlfriend, a college student in Austin named Julie who comes from an Air Force family in San Antonio. People are going, and my sister was a college student in Austin named Julie from an Air Force family in San Antonio.
She's alive.
She's still alive. She got awesome kids and everything. She's still around, so don't worry about it. Yeah. And she listens to the show, so she'll be like, oh, She won't do that at all. She'll be like, stop talking about me, Jimmy. God damn it.
Right.
And yes, she is the only one who can call me that, so don't fucking do it. Even Campbell know me so long. He's like, no, I wouldn't even think of that's... No. But no, that movie, what's it called? Cloak and Dagger, is the greatest combination of bullshit and Henry Thomas ever.
Who?
with regularity when we were both in high school, play Taco Land.
Played Taco Land with his band, the Rain Dogs.
That's right.
I used to see him at other like coffee shops and shit like that. Julie's friends with him. Apparently, he's a really cool guy.
Right.
And tries to be like, oh, it's just...
Well, he'd have to be. He played at Taco Land.
Yeah, yeah. For those who don't know, Taco Land is this... Is shithole a good term to use to describe Taco Land?
Very apt.
The ceiling in Taco Land is, what, about 6 feet, 8 inches off the ground?
Yeah.
I can't stand up. I could not stand up walking through there.
Right.
It definitely, you cannot have an ego if you're playing Taco Land.
No, you got to check that shit.
Yeah. I mean, even if you're playing the White Rabbit on a Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
That is a step up.
It's true.
From playing Taco Land.
It's true.
I still remember when your band played that Tuesday night at the White Rabbit or...
No, it was... What was it called? Wackies?
Oh, Wackies, yeah.
Wackies Cantina.
Yeah, and you guys showed up like 20 minutes afterwards, but they're like, whatever.
Nah,
nobody there. Nobody's...
I don't care.
And I ended up working your light board.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's Wackies something else.
Oh, who even knows?
Who cares?
Who cares? No, Cloak and Dagger, for those who don't know, it's the greatest use of an Atari game cartridge.
Oh, yeah.
And Dabney Coleman is a spy
in
the history of film. And, boy, that kid got all over San Antonio, because if you look at that shit, like, that is a big fucking city.
Yeah.
And he was everywhere in it.
And even in film, the Riverwalk is the nicest part.
Yeah, yeah. Even now, the Riverwalk's even nicer now.
Oh, yeah.
What I love, for those who don't know, the Riverwalk, it's private property, so you can walk around with booze.
Oh, yeah. They tried that whole no smoking on the Riverwalk thing.
Oh, no.
They're like, nah, maybe some restaurants, but you can still do it. Thanks. Thank you.
What's great about the Riverwalk, though, is open, drinking wherever, next to a river, and only about maybe 5% of it has railings.
Yeah.
The number of people who end up in that filthy, disgusting river. Mm. Like, there are bars that you walk out of, and when you leave where the bar proper is, it's three steps, and you're in the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I didn't fall in there. Oh, look, I can buy a frozen margarita here and walk down the river with it.
Surprisingly orderly.
Mm-hmm. It's because people realize it's like this wonderland.
It's when people say, you always hear this, right, for Texans anyway. San Antonio, I don't really care for it. Riverwalk's nice.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yep.
And they work at making it nicer every year.
Yes.
They just clean the river.
To me, a night in San Antonio is perfect if you start off at Chris Madrid's for a massive, delicious burger and then go down to the river and drink.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I could do without the city. The city of my birth and growing up. My father hates the fact that I say he's not a real Texan. He's lived in Texas longer than anywhere he has in his life.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, you were not born here. You did not go to school here.
He wasn't born here.
Yeah, you're not a Texan, dude. Sorry. You weren't born. Even like my sister and I can claim it, although I have a little more because my sister was conceived in Hawaii. Yeah. Yeah.
My sister was born in Colorado.
Disgusting. Really?
I can't tell you. Yeah.
So you're like one of the few pure Texan Campbells. Yeah,
me and Sam.
Mm-hmm. As it should be. Now, speaking of San Antonio, if you ever come to San Antonio and want to have the most anticlimactic experience of your life, go to the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum and then turn around.
Yeah.
Because right in the middle of downtown, directly across the street from the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum and the Pizza Hut is the Alamo.
That's it.
Now, let's talk about the Alamo movies. I have not seen the more recent one.
You didn't miss a thing.
Yeah, I know. That's what I know so many people who worked on that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, the amount of bottled water that was purchased for that film was so great that it's, like, still being recycled on films. I knew a dude who was in the Mexican army in the movie, and he said, yeah, if you look behind the walls of the Alamo, it's nothing but pallets of bottled water, because they filmed it in the summer, and everyone was wearing, like, wool uniforms.
That's some good planning.
There are people who have shirts that were like, we survived the mud boots night. Yeah. I don't even want to know what that was, but it sounds awful. It sounds awful. So, describe to me the most recent Alamo film, the one without John Wayne.
boring.
Really? A movie about a siege wasn't interesting?
No.
The Battle of the Alamo is known basically because a whole bunch of people died after a whole lot of nada happened.
Right.
Like a shitload of nothing went down, and then everyone got killed.
Pretty much.
Yes, Sue. There's that. The original with John Wayne playing David Crockett.
Yes.
The only reason he played Davy Crockett is because Crockett had kind of a cool image.
Yeah.
Yeah. I teach at David Crockett High School, which is kind of neat, even though he's from Tennessee.
Right.
I don't understand
I claim him.
He died here, so. Yeah. Y'all may go to hell, I will go to Texas. Okay. That's right on. But now let's go to Giant, because that one I think is more Texas than the Alamo. Because the Alamo, I guess. The thing is, I think growing up in Texas, you hit a certain point where the Alamo sort of starts to lose its meaning just because you get hammered over the head with it so much when you're a little kid, you know?
It's always there.
Yeah.
It's a constant, so you kind of just take it for granted.
Well, actually, let's step back before we even talk Giant. What does it mean to be from Texas? I mean, 40 minutes into what we're talking about, what it means to be a Texan.
Well, we're Texans first. That's what it means.
Yeah?
That's what it means.
Yeah.
I used to date a girl that would just... She and her brother would just go on and on. Oh, you're hanging your Texas flag up. Only state, because she's from Texas, born in Texas, and lived out of state for a few years. Would come back and go, oh, we just laugh about all you people from Texas. And look at her like, you fucking turncoat.
Yeah. The fuck is wrong
with you? We're from Texas. Mm-hmm. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Barbecue is a birthright, and fuck you, we're from Texas. That's it.
Buy a bottle of Budweiser. What's on it in Texas?
The fucking state of Texas. Texas.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. Yeah. It's not you all suck necessarily. It's like, no, we're from Texas.
Oh, there's one thing that we need to clarify real quick here. Don't mess with Texas is kind of a regional version of give a hoot, don't pollute.
Yeah, yeah.
It is literally a don't litter.
Once in Neon at a restaurant in Novi, Michigan called the Texan Steakhouse. And me and my friend Ryan, also a native Texan, went there, and there was big, don't mess with Texas. I'm like, oh, that's funny. And after we were told they had run out of three different cuts of steak, we didn't know you could run out of steak. I'll have the New York strip, we're out. I'll have the prime rib, we're out. Okay, I'll have the filet, we're out. Okay, we had to bring the manager over. You're out of steak? We're from Texas. We can't wrap our heads around this concept of out of meat.
Yeah.
What? Well, we only have this. We get it shipped at a certain time. Okay, well, by the way, that is a no littering sign.
And not only is it just saying don't litter, but it's like some... I think there's some oddly misguided belief that it's a thing that we say here. That, like, a motto that we all embrace, which we kind of do, but we don't...
It's not a watchword.
Yeah, it's not... No, not at all. Although, that does remind me. Do you know what the state song of Texas is?
Yellow Rose?
No. No. I thought that too. It's Texas, Our Texas. You don't know it because it's a shit song.
Huh.
Yellow Rose of Texas is where it's at. That's all I'm saying.
Hmm. Well, it should be.
Now.
That's what I get for going on and on about Texas.
Let's ramble. No, it's not that we think everyone else sucks. It's just that... You know, not everyone can be Jordan. And we got to realize that that's what we are here. Now, let's talk my favorite, like, just total what the fuck in Smokey and the Bandit 2. According to that movie, the state capital's in Dallas. Which is a bit of... That's not even hard fucking research. That's barely like...
Dallas. There's that.
Yet no one ever mistakes where the Astrodome is.
No.
Mostly thanks to Bad News Bears and Breaking Training. Where they had that fucking 8-year-old pitcher chewing tobacco.
Yeah.
Which is so true.
That's true.
We do that. We
do love our chewing tobacco.
We do that here. Did you ever see Dancer, Texas, Population 81?
No, I saw Happy Texas.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Baby clothes! No, midget clothes, whatever he says.
I didn't have any issue with that. It just was sort of forgettable.
I see.
No, Yeah, but let's talk for realsy Texas with a little flick named a Fandango.
Yeah, it's some good shit.
That is some good shit. It's, honestly, it's one that I think if you see it past a certain age, it loses some of the luster.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, you have to be, like, in the right wheelhouse for it. Because I think, you know, a 40-year-old seeing it who'd never seen it before would be like, what now?
Get a job. Yeah.
Yeah, you hippie. Because I saw it, and I was like, it's okay, but... Then I also saw it when I was a little kid, and I was like...
Yeah, I didn't see it till I was in college.
Yeah, and that's perfect. The age to fucking see it. That's the wheelhouse for it, because it's... Costner at his best.
Back when road trips seemed like a wonderful diversion rather than a pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Road trip, awesome. Now I'd be like, God, no.
Remember back in college when you do sort of spontaneous short-distance road trips?
Yes. We did them all the time.
I knew a guy in Austin who they used to do Alamo picks, is what they'd call them. And that was middle of the night, they'd get bored, and they'd drive down to San Antonio, take a picture in front of the Alamo, and drive back.
That's bored.
Yes, that is bored. And what gets me about living in Austin, people talking about going down to San Antonio, is it's like, dude, you... It's not like you live in Waco and you want to go to Dallas. Yeah. You live in Austin, bro.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're going to a Spurs game, go Spurs, what's the point, you know? Yeah. Shit.
Riverwalk.
Riverwalk, yes. Dazed and Confused.
There's that thing. That can't thing. Escape it.
I dig it, but I don't, like, that's one that I think gets...
We are in a unique position to where it has been, not, it's not been used as a cudgel, but just by its existence.
Yeah.
It's been just overblown.
It's too much.
By living in Austin.
Yeah, I think that if we lived in any other city...
Wouldn't be any big deal.
But yeah, you know...
That thing came out, and it was on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you went. You went to a beer party on a Friday night, there it was.
I drive by Top Notch twice a week.
Right.
The billiard, the pool hall in that all the time. It's...
Moon Towers.
Oh, fucking Moon Towers. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It loses its luster after a while, man. And I mean, that's...
It's still like... good movie. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it in
no,
and of
there
itself
isn't.
At all, actually.
Yeah.
It's just
but
one of those
one
things
that you're kind of, we're beaten over the head with.
It's, you know, like Shook Me All Night Long. It's a great AC/DC song. I don't ever need to hear it again. I've absorbed it.
I'm tapped out on it. I'm right with you on it. You know a movie I loved when I was a little kid and I had no idea what it was about? Every kid in Texas.
Emmanuel in Space?
Yes. Yes. We grew up knowing about this Texas movie that we didn't understand what it was about. We just thought it was about a place where guys would show up and give ladies chickens.
Best Little Whorehouse in Texas?
Yes! Dude, think about how old were you the first time you saw that movie?
I don't know, maybe 8?
Yeah. I was younger. First grade. I remember seeing that shit. No idea. I remember... Texas got a whorehouse in it. Lord, I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what that meant. Which is, of course, the same place that is the, what's it called? The behind the inspiration for the song LaGrange.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never got it. Although I do remember being at, going by and visiting you at Texas State when there was a rehearsal for it going on, and one common female friend of ours was dressed in one of the Aggie cheerleader uniforms that the whores dressed up in.
Oh, yeah.
I think you know who I'm talking about,
too. Yeah. I remember that.
That was gross.
Good times, great oldies.
Good times, great oldies, exactly. Ooh, speaking of, Blood Simple.
Oh, yeah.
Shot all over Austin. That's one that it's incredibly simple story, but... needs to be seen more. I mean, I lived in the Hyde Park neighborhood where most of that was filmed for a while. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely a part of my life.
Yeah, that was one of those movies I didn't even realize the whole Texas thing until way later. Because I saw it later on.
Well, because there's nothing in it that indicates Texas in particular.
Yeah.
Although, you know what really, to me, because part of it was because of how old I was when it came out, and part of it was that it was filmed here, but was Office Space.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that, to me, is irrevocably united with Austin. Because the restaurant she worked in, they used the old Alligator Grill for that. Uh-huh. And that was right next to the Blockbuster Video that I worked at for the longest time.
Yeah, and now it's something else entirely.
It's a it's a Baker Street pub.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not bad, you know. Could be worse.
Kind of tragic.
Better, I've had, of course.
A whole lot of drunken afternoons at the Gator.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's kind of like a British pub with a massive wooden balcony in the Texas
for the
heat.
The smokers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We open up a we make it so you can't smoke inside, and force every restaurant that's not willing to just say fuck you,
right,
to opening a patio. Because that's really all that's what that brought
yes,
to it.
That's right. The deck used to be so big, and now apparently it takes up the entire space.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How's about, did you ever see Lone Star State of Mind?
No.
It's worth seeing because it has the worst worst Texas accent ever in it. Is it Joshua Jackson from Dawson's Creek in it? Well, I got no problem with that kid. I kind of like him.
I don't know what it is.
That's because he was in Dawson's Creek.
It's not just Dawson's Creek. It was Pacey.
Yeah, I never watched fucking an episode Pacey. Of it, so I don't really know anything about that.
I did. And I remember Pacey.
Really?
I remember. Anyway, I never saw it.
He came in and he said, well, see, I'm able to do a southern accent, so I think it'd be natural for me to play this guy from Texas.
No.
Is there anything about that accent sounds like Texas to you?
Sounds like you have a case of the vapors.
Mm-hmm.
From Planet Southern.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's, Jeebus. Jeebus.
I say, son, were you a foghorn leghorn there, Josh?
I say, what now? I say.
I say it was the best of times. I say it was the worst of times.
Oh, speaking of, have you ever seen The Apostle? Not The Apostle, oh,
yes,
of
I
course,
have.
Yeah. Leap of Faith.
Only parts of it.
I have a funny story about that. There's a girl who pops up in it at one point and is like Steve Martin, like taps her on the forehead and she falls on the ground convulsing and such. She assisted me as a young man in delivering me my very first sloppy yawn. She was a wonderful woman.
Very giving.
Yes, very giving. If you want to know what that means, you're going to have to email us, because my mother listens to this shit. She doesn't. But, yes, that young woman provided me with a wonderful afternoon once. But, yeah that one, I didn't think too much of it. Sin City. All of Sin City was filmed off 51st Street.
Correct.
Which is kind of crazy. Let's see. Yeah, there's two that I'm gonna actually. Let's talk Grindhouse, in what that means as a Texas film. What it means as a Texas film is Quentin said, "I want to hang out in Austin."
He wanted to go to Austin.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of blow.
Yeah,
and he wanted to get laid.
Yes,
he accomplished this. While he was there, he made a movie
that has a great car chase in it.
Mm-hmm.
That is quite boring up to the car chase.
Oh yeah.
I like Planet Terror almost more ironically than anything. It's got some cool shit in it, but it's more like I view it damn near like if a friend of mine made a short film that was a parody of something.
Yeah.
It's not one that I would tell anybody to go watch.
Not necessarily.
No. I mean, Freddy Rodriguez is fantastic in it. You know, he got the devil in him. Good shit, but I'm looking at all this and I'm like, I can't see any phenomenal, great movies.
Lone Star.
Lone Star is good.
Yeah, it was good.
Lone Star is damn good.
And I was just back in Eagle Pass the other day and got to relive that, along with No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, when I was watching that, I was like, man, I wonder if Clarkson recognizes this place.
Oh, yes.
And I wonder how much of it is changed. Although, I will say that, to me, has the most Texan moment ever in it. When he walks in, aren't you going to ask me where my clothes is? Had crossed my mind. But no, we're... You got money. We're fine here.
We're fine.
Don't really care. The Thin Blue Line. If you haven't seen it, it's on Instinct. You need to watch that shit now.
Okay.
It is a documentary about a murder of a police officer and the aftermath. And it constructs reality. Ends up being an investigation in it. It is very obvious right off the bat who actually committed the crime. It's painfully obvious.
Right.
And it should have been painfully obvious to the jury and all that, but it wasn't. And near the end, you actually have them interviewing this guy on tape, and he's like, no, he didn't kill him. And you know that because I'm the one who'd know. And it's like, oh my God, that's a fucking confession on tape.
Right.
Thin Blue Line is brilliant documentary.
Oh, cool.
I said documentary.
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
Brilliant investigatory documentary filmmaking. I'm standing by
about
every
strategery.
I'm standing by every syllable of that sentence. But I'm looking at all this shit, and I'm like, okay, Lost Angels. They tried to substitute San Antonio for Los Angeles for some reason.
Yeah.
And the only reason I liked it is I'm like, hey, that's the music store where I bought my first set of guitar strings. That's the...
Hey, look at that.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
But there are only two movies that were shot in Texas, and they are not necessarily Texas films. But Rushmore and Bottle Rocket,
yeah,
to me, are... Not even so much Bottle Rocket. Rushmore, to me, is the best movie made in Texas. And there might be people who say, well, what about this? Like, is it Rushmore? No, then you're wrong.
It's very good.
It's very good. It worked. I mean, it's classic, but there's not much that unites it to Texas.
No.
It's still good.
There's a certain kind of Houston sensibility going through some of it, if you want to dig a little deeper for Texas listeners. And you'd know that because I just said fur.
Yeah. Now that we've gone through all this, let me ask you a question. What does Texas in film really mean to you?
I don't know about the meaning necessarily, but I know it's when you hear a certain musician and say that's the kind of sound.
Right.
I'd say there's a certain kind of look that says, okay, that's a Texas film.
Okay.
Giant. For example.
Yes, Giant.
We were talking about that earlier. We, never
we sidetracked.
That just smacks you in the face with, just gives you an idea of just how big this
is. How big,
and how big the personalities can be.
Right.
Especially up in that obsession.
Well, and when we look at that there, the opening, well, not the opening, but after they're married, they're taking the train back, and she asks him, when are we going to get to Texas? And he says, we've been in Texas for the last 8 hours.
Yeah.
That's something that people from other areas cannot really wrap their heads around too much. I mean, like Nicole, she lived in Houston, which if you head from Austin to the east, that's the first real city. The first city, not town. That's the first city you're going to hit. How long does it take to get there? That's about 3-4 hours.
Oh, well, from Austin, about, you know, depending on traffic, 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a drive.
Yeah.
I mean, from drive. Yeah. But there's like the amount of space we've got. But let's look at Giant, because to me, Giant is the perfect Texas film.
Yeah.
Because you've got, you know, you've got the established family with money that gets more money. You've got the poor kid who comes from nothing and works his way up to being insanely powerful.
Right.
You've got the odd dynamic between... Like, I grew up in San Antonio, and I never realized up until a certain age that there was any difference, really, between me and the Mexican kids.
Right.
They were just, and then you watch Giant, it's like, wow, that was a real point of contention for a long time. There are some places where it still is, but by and large, it's like...
Yeah, it's you know... For people that aren't from the state, yes, we're all Texans and we're all Texans first.
Yeah.
But once you start getting into the layers, there are specific regions that are.
Oh, yeah.
He's from South Texas. That guy's from East Texas. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows what East Texas means.
Yeah. Oh,
West
he's from
Texas.
The panhandle.
Yeah, panhandle.
Oh, Jesus.
You know,
from the valley.
Different ways of speaking, different ways of dealing with dealing with each other and interacting with different people.
Right.
In South Texas. It's almost seamless because it's Mexicans and Texans. That's just when it was formed, we were all hanging out.
Yeah.
And it's kind of been that way ever since. And as it gets up closer to Dallas or the Panhandle, East Texas, it gets the lines are a little sharper. Not as much as, say, 60 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever. But still, they're still more definable than Corpus.
Well, but there's also this weird shit with that. Like, I remember when I was in college, this kid from Odessa telling me that I didn't know real Mexican food.
Yeah, that's crazy. Anything like, north of San Antonio, shut up.
San Antonio, dude. And he's like, well, I know Mexican food. I'm like, dude, I'm from San Antonio.
Right.
What the fuck are you going to tell me about anything with Mexican food? But that separation that in some areas is there, but like seriously, I mean, I didn't even notice it.
Right.
You know, until you hit a certain age when other people start influencing and you hear all this crap. And
yeah.
But other than that, I was like, well, no, Gabriel and I are no different from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the hell am I supposed to think about that?
Right.
But then near the end, I mean, realizing how big a deal it was, where he's like, oh, he married a Mexican girl.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people.
And it goes all the way down, being from South Texas, from the Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
Being there and then moving to Eagle Pass, where it's even more washed away.
Uh-huh.
Completely. Where it's unless you get down to the nut cutting.
Yeah.
There's really no difference at all.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting to me. Because
there's all regions of Texas, and then there's Mars, also known as the border.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a different place altogether.
And as I look at it, when it comes to Texas, there's an expansiveness to it
that
is very difficult to capture in a lot of things. There's an expanse to the state. You know, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you look at it, and you get that feeling of you're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
Four miles. Jesus. Yeah. Driving north to Dallas, driving north to Fort Worth, you hit Waco. After about 3 minutes north of Waco, you're a good 100 miles.
Yeah.
And all that you will see is like gas station, giant porno store, giant gas station, nothing.
Yeah.
Giant porno store, giant gas station, town.
And I don't know about you, but being from where I am, and traveling a certain part of Texas.
Right.
Straight up north to south to east. Never really going west very much.
Uh-huh.
You tend to forget about that side.
Oh, yeah.
And you can think it's desolate between any of these other places.
Oh,
head out to Junction.
Oh.
And past Junction. It's like the movies. It's like I've been to places out there where it's like the movie idea of Texas.
Right.
Where the stranger comes to town, walks into the only general store, the only thing in town that is the general store, and everyone goes, "Rrr."
Yeah, people stop and look at you.
If they're a record player, it would skip.
Yeah. Well, like, hell, what's weird, have you ever driven out to Shiner?
Nothing.
Have you ever driven to Shiner, gone to the Shiner Brewery? Yeah.
Never been to Shiner Brewery, but I've been to Shiner.
You drive by, there are oil derricks.
Yeah.
There are oil pumps. That are decorated because they're close to the road, and people, there's ones that look like grasshoppers. Yeah. And what the fuck?
Yeah.
That shit.
Seesaws.
It does exist, but like, what's weird is if you go, now it's changed so much. If you start in, we'll say, Lytle, which is this little town south of San Antonio, and hit 35 and drive north, you will essentially be in city.
Hmm.
Up until Waco, pretty much.
Pretty much.
I mean, it's now hit a point. Like, my parents live in Georgetown, and there used to be a pretty vast expanse between Austin and Georgetown. Not enormous, but it was there. Now it's a city the whole way there.
Mm-hmm.
Different story from driving. Like, when we drove out for the Rose Bowl, where UT won the national championship in the greatest college football game ever played. That's the full title of what happened.
Right.
Driving to El Paso at night,
yeah.
You want to talk about feeling like you dropped off the planet
exactly.
Until you get near El Paso.
Yeah.
Have you ever driven into El Paso at dawn? And you look out to your left, and there are 11 billion lights that stretch out until the Earth curves? Yeah. Because it's El Paso and what's the city on the other side? Is it Chihuahua or is it...
Shit, what is it?
No, it's not Nogales, is
Tijuana.
It?
Tijuana.
But essentially, you...
Mexico.
Yeah, you look over the side, and it runs right into this city in Mexico, and it's like, what? Holy shit. Like, those lights are never, ever, ever going to stop.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, shit, that's what you get used to.
Yeah, or even down in Eagle Pass, the Mexican city right across the border is Piedras Negras.
Yeah.
And the official population of Eagle Pass says something like 23,000.
Right.
Officially. But Piedras is essentially, Eagle Pass and Piedras are the same city.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the border, you can see the clock tower
right
in the middle of the plaza there in Piedras. I mean, it's the only thing there is the river, and it's one big city. And Piedras is huge,
uh-huh.
sprawling out and right. never up, just out.
Well, and that's the thing that I think there are a lot of Texas movies that don't take advantage of it,
yeah.
but that's what defines it to be is the expanse of it.
Yeah.
You know, True Grit. Mm-hmm. Both versions nail it
yeah.
because it never ends. Lonesome Dove nails it because
oh, yeah.
it just it's a place where it seems like you're never going to run out of prairie. For yeah. people who are saying, "Oh, we're losing all of our natural resource." Really?
We're running out of land.
Yeah, like
I don't know.
The funny thing, the Dobe was the dorm that I lived in Austin, 27 story, just massive thing. Frank Dobe, J. Frank Dobe, is a writer.
Right.
He is, one of his biggest public stances was he came out opposed to the UT Tower because he said, we got so much room to build out, why are we building up?
Yeah.
And so they named a 27-story building after
Take him. That, writer.
Yeah. 27 stories, and there was a time when that was the tallest building in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Although I will say, Tree of Life is all shot in Waco. And there's a scene where there's a Waco, like City of Waco truck, that DDT spray-in truck
mm-hmm.
in the preview. That says City of Waco on the side of it.
Oh, okay.
But what sold me, I was like, well, it could be somewhere else. You can see, you've driven through Waco before.
Oh, yeah.
The Alcon building.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see that. So it's yeah. like, oh, wow, there's Waco. Nice. Although, from all the shit that we've talked about, if I were to name one person, and I put him on at the beginning of this, that to me embodies Texas better than anyone, Ron Tater Salad White.
Yes.
He is, as because he's got that cool, hey man, I don't give a fuck what you do. Kind of, and it's strange because for as much as people seem to think that, you know, oh, Texas is this redneck, but like, we hate the fucking crackers from the South area around. We fucking, you want to piss off someone from Texas, call us Southerners.
In the classic sense.
I'm
yeah.
not from the South, I'm from Texas.
Yeah, yeah. There's a definite...
Yeah, there's a huge
separation.
Difference. Don't confuse me with someone from Kentucky, for fuck's sake. No, I am not from Arkansas.
Yeah, yeah.
God damn it. But Ron White hits that, and it's just that smoking, drinking scotch. Hey, man.
Suit and cowboy boots kind of thing.
Yeah, hit something hard. I don't want to limp away from this.
Get an idea of metropolitan Texas like... That is the bar at the Driscoll.
Yes, uh-huh.
You walk in and it's, there's cowboy boots and enough conchos on the ladies' belts and
yeah.
their, you know, junior league outfits with their sunglasses mm-hmm. over their tightly pulled back hair
yeah.
and drinking highballs and Shiner and you're mm-hmm. like, oh, wow. And yeah. you don't think about it when you're from Texas, but
yeah.
every once in a while the Texasness of it yeah. can hit you in the face.
Like the first time I ever went
Fort
to
Fort Worth. Go down there. Yeah. Downtown Fort Worth and...
Uh-huh.
You just walk downtown, and so there's a mural of a stampede on a wall, on a yeah. building.
And then you look to the other side, and there are actual cattle being marched yeah. down the street yeah. to the market.
Right.
It's so odd, because, like, I remember being... The most Texas moment I ever had was I was out at the Salt Lick for the first time,
mm.
and there were guys in the pressed rodeo shirts mm. and all that shit, and the only reason I noticed them is because they carried a keg up to the side of their table with them. The outfit doesn't even register.
God bless Texas.
Exactly. God bless Texas. The shit-kickinest cowboy boot outfit you ever saw
right.
doesn't even raise an eyebrow.
No, no. Not at all.
You know?
Think about the amount of trucks on the road.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, people always talk about that from different states. You're like, what are you talking about? And then when I worked around the country, go to Seattle.
Yeah. You ain't seeing no. pickup trucks everywhere.
Those trucks are working for somebody.
Yeah.
Here's just a choice.
Yeah, here's a place where you'll have somebody who's driving, like, you know, a Titan.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a four-door cab pickup truck with an extended bed and six tires.
There are people here that have double cab dualies with trailer hitches that own trailers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like, this is my means of conveyance.
Yes, this is it's my only means of conveyance. And it's true. It's everywhere. Except in Austin, the Prius has become more.
Well, it's Austin. Austin... Yeah. Is its own
animal. Austin doesn't make sense so far as the rest of Texas goes.
It's
but
the only place yeah. in Texas that thinks, well, everything should be exactly like this.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't go 20 miles in any direction, hippie, because then you'll realize
yeah.
exactly where you are.
You're on an island.
The blue dot in a sea of red.
Yeah.
Deep red.
Deep red. Oh, hell yes. Hell yes. But it's an interesting thing when you look at it, because you see, you know, like Bonanza, yeah. The Searchers, Walker, Texas Ranger.
That's your ass.
They give you such a great feel for it. But, like, even Stewart came here. He had no idea what to expect, and he fucking loved it.
Right.
Granted, the folks that he met in Texas were me and Hope and VJ. And you want to talk about me and you hanging out with VJ, you cannot ask for a cooler, welcoming committee. And he's like, you do that? Sure. Why not? Okay. Like, that's cool. Hang out. Although, here's the first day that he's been here. Showed up. We went to casino, had burgers, went and picked up some beer, drove around town, showed him shit, went to the posse, had some beer, picked up some beer, and just hung out. He was tired, went to sleep. Right. Woke up the next morning, drove to Round Rock Donuts. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Good choice.
Finished that, came back, chilled for a little bit, went to the Salt Lick. Came back from that and, you know, sort of hung out. We went to Austin Books and Comics.
Of course.
Hung out for a little bit. Crashed. Next morning, woke up, took him to One in a Million. Had a little bit of time, so I took him to Cabela's.
There you go.
Then took him to the airport.
Yeah, Cabela's. That'd give you a nice idea.
Yes. Yes. He'd never picked up a gun before, and I'm like, you want to hold this? He was like, what the shit? It's this massive hunting store. Big one. I'm like, oh, it's bolt action. Kind of nice. You want to hold it? He was like, I wouldn't know what to do with it.
He's been out there thinking, oh, massive like Walmart? No, massive like three Walmarts stacked on top of each
massive
other.
Massive like there's a plane hanging from the roof, and you have to look for it.
Yeah, yeah. It's big.
Yeah. And awesome.
And one wall of said stacked Walmart hunting is nothing but guns.
Yeah, yeah.
It's wonderful.
It's really something else. He just jaw on the floor like, what the fuck is going on here? But that sums it up to me. Like, there is this... It's weird because I kind of get this vibe that people from other places think that there's this sort of affectation in our love of Texas. Like, the Onion wrote some article about people from Texas, like, oh, they'll talk about how much better Texas is as they drink their Texas-specific beer. Like, first off, I'm either asking...
beer, period.
Yeah. The closest to Texas-centric is, I will take a Shiner or a Lone Star.
Right.
That's about it. And now, ordering a Shiner is not as easy as it used to be.
No.
I mean, because he heard, he's like, yeah, I want to try some Shiner Bock. I was like, okay, you just want to try the Bock? He's like, yeah. What are the choices? Shiner Black, Shiner Blonde, Shiner Hefeweizen, Shiner Light, Shiner Black, Shiner Seasonal, Shiner 101, Shiner. And he was like, what? I said, yeah,
that
dude,
weird Cosmo thing.
Yeah, the weird
Cosmo. And the even weirder Smokehouse.
Oh, no, that's not the weird one. Have you seen the summer ale that's flavored with ruby red grapefruit and ginger?
What?
Yeah.
Who put the what in the what?
Mm-hmm. Ruby red grapefruit and ginger flavored beer. Yeah, that face about says it all.
Blue dots, rainbow dot.
I can't argue that, man.
Great.
Fantastic, isn't it? It's weird, though, because I look at this and there's a handful of movies on my list that are set in Houston, like Terms of Endearment. Shit. I'm like, no. Houston is so – it's odd. If you live in Texas, it's like any time that someone wants to get legislation passed, they will roll out, hey, you don't want this place to turn into Houston, do you? And people are like, oh,
Houston,
shit.
Man,
no, we don't.
One of the last times I was in Houston, my dad was in the hospital there downtown, and it was raining. And if you squint with the right – amount of light with the overcast and rain, that shit looks like Blade Runner. It is just this massive Death Star of a city. In certain parts, you're going, Jesus Christ, I am in such a city. I mean, I'm from the sticks, y'all.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure New Yorkers go, oh, please. Yes, I understand it's much bigger, but there's a certain Blade Runner-ish quality to parts of Houston that
like
you blows your mind. Am I still in Texas? And a lot of people in Texas will say, oh, Houston? Oh, that's not Texas.
Oh, no. Like being in downtown
but
San
Antonio.
Being in downtown San Antonio, you feel like you're in a Batman
story. Like the city. Yeah. Although Dallas is weird because it's like, it's where every architecture student gets their chance to create something wacky.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I want to build a building that looks like a golf ball on a tee. Okay.
Yeah.
I want one that has big X's on it.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
I want them all to be empty now. All right.
Yeah, sure.
No problem.
But what's weird, though, is at the same time, you will pull into a town that has a bank that looks... It opened in 1962, and might as well have a sign, the 1962 bank, because it looks as stereotypical as that. Any stereotypical thing that you've seen about Texas when it comes to the way people look, you know, the bouffant hair, the overspray painted, the pull
tie. You can find that.
It's somewhere. We could probably, from here right now, we could spend 20 minutes in the car and hit at least one place where you see that.
Oh, yeah.
Only place that you'll go with your girlfriend and someone will ask you if they can dance with her.
Yeah.
They won't ask her. They'll ask you.
That's right.
Yeah. It's weird.
And correct.
Different situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that, I think, kind of... Is there any big deal thing about Texas that we didn't discuss at all here?
I don't know. Movie-wise?
Not much.
Not so much.
I can think of.
If you need a crash course, just watch the series Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas pretty much sums it up. Or watch the episode Lone Star.
Yeah. Yeah, you can watch that episode.
That one episode.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Gives you a good idea. They probably would have had a lot of good things to say about Texas and Texas-centric stuff, but no one cared.
Chance, yeah. No. So, yeah. I never really watched Dallas. I was too young when I was a kid. All I know is I liked, what was her name? Priscilla?
Patrick Duffy.
Yes, Patrick Duffy. Her? Yeah. Who doesn't like Patrick Duffy? So I guess that sums up Texas.
Yeah.
That's literally everything you need to know about Texas. Big and awesome.
Yeah.
anything else?
Big, beefy, awesome.
Magnated.
You say you're not from Texas, man, as if I couldn't tell. Well, you think you pull your boots on right and wear your hat so well. So pardon me, my laughter, as I sure do understand. Even
all right, well, thank you very much for sticking with us all the way through that. Musically, we used Beginning Wasps, Blind in Texas, and right now, Lyle Lovett's That's Right, You're Not from Texas. Sound clips in there were from, like, Ron White, Miss Congeniality, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. That was also the Longhorn Marching Band playing The Eyes of Texas, so good times. Join us next week, where we will be looking at, it's kind of a serious show, politics in film and the media. We're not going to endorse a political side. We're just talking about how screwed up the way we talk about politics has become and give sort of our thoughts as to why. Hopefully it'll be good. Anyway, check us out on Facebook, thefilmthugs.com, thefilmthugs@gmail.com. See you next week, babe.
That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas wants you anyway. On the road, it looked so lovely. She stood there on the side, and she grew smaller in my mirror as I watched her wave goodbye. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas wants you in. anyway. That's right, I'm not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas wants you anyway. All their fair, but those old folks in Missouri, they don't even know we go there. At a dance hall down in Texas, that's the finest place to be. All the women, they all look beautiful, and their men will buy your beer for free. And they'll say, that's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas wants you. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas wants you anyway. So won't you let me help you, mister? Just pull your hat down the way I do, and buy your pants just a little longer. And next time somebody laughs at you, you just tell them you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas wants you anyway. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas wants you anyway. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. But Texas wants you anyway.
Search for greener pastures went on unabated. Continued expansion diluted the talent pool, forcing owners to recruit heavily from prisons, mental institutions, and Texas.